The gospel lesson for this morning comes from the 12th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 49. And I share these words from Peterson's translation, The Message. In this passage, Jesus begins with a startling message to his disciples. I have come to start a fire on earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. You think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two and two against three. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against bride and bride against mother-in-law. And then he turned to the crowd. When you see clouds coming in from the west, you say, storm's coming. And you're right. And when the wind comes from out of the south, you say, this will be a hot one. And you're right. Frauds. Hypocrites. You know how to tell a change in the weather. So don't tell me you can't tell a change in the season. The God season we're in right now. The New Revised Standard Version has that phrase, don't tell me you don't know how to interpret the present time. Will you pray with me? Holy One, may the words you have given me to share and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable worship of our rock, our strength, our hope, and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus spends most of the 12th chapter of Luke, reassuring and encouraging his followers, all in the face of possible rough circumstances. In the past, he has said, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that can do nothing more. Or, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Or, not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But as we just heard, the very same chapter ends on a far less positive note. Suddenly, Jesus announces that he and his ministry will be very, very divisive. I have come to bring fire, to disrupt, to confront, not to smooth things over and make everything nice. What happened to gentle Jesus, meek and mild? Did you sing that in Sunday school? It's one of Charles Wesley's well-known hymns. But in light of this morning's text from Luke's story of Jesus, perhaps we might sing divisive Jesus, strong and riled. After spending 45 verses offering to quiet anxiety, Jesus announces that his ministry will indeed be divisive, dividing families, pitting individual members of households against one another. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. It's a troubling word, isn't it? Division. But as it happens, divisive talk and actions from Jesus or about Jesus keep appearing in the Gospels. When John the Baptist announced the coming of Jesus, he said, His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. In the early days of Jesus' ministry, he visited the synagogue in Nazareth, hometown. His reputation as a preacher and healer preceded him. Luke says the congregation initially spoke well of him. But Jesus so provoked those in that congregation with his radical announcement of inclusiveness that they drove him out of town, intent on throwing him over the cliff. Matthew's gospel has a parallel story to the Lucan text. Matthew records Jesus saying, "I have come not to bring peace, but a sword." So the question becomes, is this the kind of Jesus we want? Just think of all the things that already divide us. Politics, economic status, social standing, ethnicity, religion, denominational loyalty. And that's not to mention the myriad of cultural issues that divide us. Who needs a divisive Savior? Do we really want a Jesus whose stated reason for coming to earth is to bring division? Not peace. Division. Really? I don't know about you. Maybe it's the English teacher in me. But I so appreciate the way Jesus uses language. All through his preaching and teaching, he is a master crafter of hyperbole and metaphor. Grabbing our attention. Grabbing our attention for a closer read, a clearer understanding of what he wants us to know. What he wants us to know about who he is, why he has come, who sent him, what this kingdom of God talk means for us. And with the emphasis on in the present time, as we hear him say in verse 56 of our text, fire, warnings of coming judgment, division. What's the point of his message? First to the disciples and then to the crowd? Jesus is calling for decision. A decision that will quite possibly cause division. In his talk about fire, he's talking and calling for commitment, wholehearted commitment. But let's be clear, Jesus gives us fair warning. Wholehearted commitment to him creates tension. Complete commitment to one thing requires rejection of any competing commitments. All other options are off the table. That's why some people live with commitment phobia. They have a hard time putting their heart, their energy, their time, their talents, their money, their future, committing to a relationship or cause or faith in God, the God who comes to us in Jesus Christ. Admittedly, to do so is often scary. Discipline is required. Sacrifice is asked. It means relinquishing what one believes that satisfies us now or what will satisfy us forever. Jesus is clear. wholehearted commitment to Him can create division, tension, and controversy. People who make a difference in the world, in our town, in our homes, in our workplaces, are often controversial. And Jesus uses the imagery of fire for His challenge. His challenge to us to decide, are we for Him or are we against Him? Imagine yourself as one of Jesus' disciples hearing these words that day. I came to bring fire to earth, and how I wish it were blazing right now. Unexpected, uncomfortable words from their rabbi. It's a hard saying, an awkward moment for what the disciples have already heard. But His message is about a new order. A new order in which the social structure would be turned right side up, totally rearranged. The fire that Jesus brings is new life. He knew that the fire that would be kindled in Him would eventually be kindled in His followers after the resurrection. Remember the story of the disciples after the resurrection on the road to Emmaus? They asked the question after being at dinner with Jesus and hearing His story. They ask, didn't we feel fire in our hearts when He spoke to us? And you know the story of Pentecost, when the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus also knew that those who had this fire burning within them would discover that their old life, their old priorities would be burned away, and their new life in Him would be purified. This message from Jesus 2,000 years ago applies to us in the 21st century. It's all about the decision. Even though divisive, the decision is to catch the fire, to daily seek the signs of the kingdom, to become signs of the kingdom of God, for which we pray this morning. I'll share a story with you about one of my former parishioners. It's not the Millers. His parishioner was a member at Warren First United Methodist. And this parishioner, who was former to me, in time became one of your former parishioners. How many of you remember Zach Eskow? Related to one of the members in our congregation. Zach had a favorite hymn. And if the pastoral staff at Warren First had allowed it, Zach would have us sing it every Sunday. The hymn, many of you may know, Pass It On. I didn't choose it today to sing. I wasn't sure if it were familiar or not. But if Zach were here, I know he would tell me that it is the perfect hymn for today's gospel lesson. These are the words to the first stanza. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon, all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. You spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. In the third stanza, I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I've found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. That's the decision we make. Wholehearted commitment in the present time to pass it on. Lord knows there is more out there in our individual lives, in our communities and world that need to be set on fire. It only takes a spark. But if we aren't helping set the fire, aren't we complicit in the status quo? Our founder, John Wesley, often spoke about faith and evangelism and putting God first. In one sermon, he urged his congregants, catch on fire, and others will come and watch you burn. The words of Jesus provoked, still provoke a decision for or against. It only takes a spark. Got matches? Let's go set some fires and then give God the glory. Amen.